Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
And you know, one of the things that as I was seeking the Lord's heart as to what to bring, because it's our first service for 2026, and you know, because like was mentioned today in our volunteer briefing with Pastor Levi and then with Keely in devotion, there's something about a new year, isn't there? And, you know, it comes with a fresh hope. It comes with an expectation that anything can happen. And, you know, one of the things that I find so interesting that I was reflecting on in December is that there's a different feeling in December to January. And it's so funny because they're right next to each other. But you just feel very, very different from December into January. I don't know if in this part of the world, because it's warmer this week, get ready because it's like an almost 40 degree day coming up this week. I don't know if it's because we're outside more, it's daylight savings, but it just feels like, you know, there's something amazing about a new year. Brings fresh new hope, fresh hope. And so how many of us know how we start, whether it's a fresh start? You know, some of us, it might be a clean slate. Maybe it's a fresh start, or maybe it's a continuation of what the Lord did in us last year of the years before. Starting, how we start is important. And so wherever we are on that scale, God is wanting to grow in Him, mature and to flourish. And so as I was seeking the Lord for what to bring today, God led me to this passage of Scripture. It's going to come up on the screen behind me, but if you have your Bible, it's from the Message Bible version that I'm reading from, but it's Matthew 11, 28 to 30. So the Message version says this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Isn't that amazing? I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. I want you to pay attention to that order. It's not work with me and walk with me. It's walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How amazing is that? Isn't that a beautiful passage of Scripture? When I read it, I thought, wow, this is how I want to live my life. But how do we do it? How do we learn the unforced rhythms of grace and learn to live freely and lightly? And as I started seeking God's heart, He said a word to me. And that word to me was abide. Who knows this word, abide? Yeah? So we're going to read John 15 in a minute. But the word abide means to dwell, to find shelter in, to attach our lives to live within, and to remain in. I'm going to say it again, to dwell, to find shelter in, to attach our lives to live with and remain in. So I want you to keep that in your mind as we read this. John 15, verses 1 to 5. It says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. I love this. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And one of the things that we immediately see when we read this scripture is that abiding is less about doing and more about being. And I think that's why we struggle with it at times as humans, because we are so programmed to do, to have a constant amount of energy, of energy and activity in our lives. And, you know, one of the things that I love to talk about is well-being. I'm a counsellor and a supervisor, and so I talk about, you know, to people all the time about rest and Sabbath. And, you know, sometimes I've asked people in the last couple of years, you know, what do you do to rest? How do you Sabbath? And they're like, I don't know. I feel guilty or frustrated or stuck and I don't know what to do, or overwhelmed when I stop. Because we're programmed. It's a programming of go, 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 go. When you think about primary school, secondary school, uni, TAFE, or a trade, apprenticeship, whatever, job, work, it's never ending, this constant amount of activity that we're programmed in life. That's why abiding is so countercultural. Because abiding is less about doing and more about being. It's less about performance and more about presence, being over doing. And abiding with the Lord is the most personal thing, because in order to do so, we have to create space, let our defenses down. We have to come close to Him. Proximity for intimacy. Proximity for intimacy. And it's out of our relationship with Jesus that we can experience Him and learn from Him. So there are a couple of things that stand out about this verse that instruct us in how to live our lives in order to abide. The first one is very simple, but is the most powerful and important one. It's follow. Abiding is not us in front of Jesus. We follow after Him. And that might sound simple, but as humans struggling with our own flesh and our own will, it is a lot easier said than done. Yes? And when we make our home in Him, dwell, remember? When we abide, we dwell, we make our home in Him, we remain in Him. We know our role. We allowed Him to lead us and we follow. And sometimes we get in our own way, or we make or try to make things happen in our own strength. We go after the good thing. But that's not what we're called to do or instructed to do. Our aim must be not even to go after the God thing yet, but to go after God. To have some small idea about what is the next step. He must lead and we must follow. So whether that's a decision we have to make, or the strength to live more like Jesus when it's hard, to love those that are difficult to love in our lives, et cetera, to have God's perspective, heaven's perspective for everything in our life, we must make our home in Him. It's not enough to come to church. That alone doesn't change us. What changes us is walking closely with Him, abiding with Him, letting Him lead us, guide us, and showing us, let Him show us the way forward. Rich Velotas, a preacher and author, said this: the greatest enemy to the witness of the church is not atheism, but a version of Christian faith that believes in Jesus but doesn't follow Him. I'm going to say it again. The greatest enemy to the witness of the church is not atheism, but a version of Christian faith that believes in Jesus but doesn't follow Him. Believing isn't enough. That's the first step. That's where we start. And it's a beautiful place when we first believe in Jesus. But that's the starting line. We're supposed to move on from the starting line. The evidence that we truly believe is that we follow. That we follow Him, because there's fruit when we follow. And so we know from this scripture in John 15 that God is the vine grower, the dresser. God is watchful and wise and wanting the vine to prosper. God tends to the flourishing of the branches. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When you think of a tree that is God and we are the branches, and he's tending to us, the branches. He wants us to flourish. How are we supposed to know which way to walk, what path to choose, what is the way to wisdom or of wisdom if we don't know the vine dresser? Jesus is the true vine. In Colossians 3:3, it says, "For you have died and your new life is hidden with Christ in God." Isn't it a beautiful thing? Think about it for a moment. Our life, your life, my life is hidden with Christ in God. And there's no safer place for us to be. Jesus is the true vine, is our life source, and we're completely secure in him as the branches. We can trust him. And I love what, you know, what I highlighted before in Matthew 11. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Walk with me, not ahead of me, not behind me. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. He shows us as we follow. So follow is the first. The second is to remain. Remaining is how we abide. How do we remain? The word, prayer, and our relationship with him. So the word. You know, I've had people ask me before, how do I discern the voice of God, or how do I know God's talking to me? It's very simple. Know your word, know the voice of God. Yeah, the word trains us to know his voice, and it sets his voice apart from our own flesh and the voice of the enemy. This is how we recognize the voice of God, through his word. And at times, it's easy to confuse our own thoughts, our own flesh, for God's voice. But if we're wanting to discern his voice, we need to start seeking him through his word. The more we know the word, the more we know his character, the easier it is to discern when he's speaking to us. If we don't know his voice, there's no transformation. So when we think about the word, are we living out the word, or living like the word is simply a suggestion? Are we taking God at his word, or are we treating it the same as reading fiction, a bunch of stories in a book? If we remain in his word and remain in him and know his voice, when we get thrown a curveball through the year, through life, they happen all the time because we're human. We are less likely to be completely broken or shaken over it. And actually, if we remain in him during those times, that's how we abide. And it's because we are this word that is not a particularly high, it's not a word that you would see everywhere in, you know, neon lights. And it's not a word that we particularly would pick first, but it's an important word. Consistent. Being consistent. Being congruent, not changing or shifting. This is who God is. He doesn't shift. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's who he is. And so for us, it's a struggle because we're human. So to be consistent, it requires practice. It requires discipline. It requires knowing his word. He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. So the mark of a true disciple is that they abide in his word. They remain in his word. And, you know, a lot of us at the start of the year, you know, there's a lot of unknown. Maybe we need answers to questions that we have. In Psalm 119:105, we know it really well. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. His word illuminates and helps us to see him and acknowledge him and then take intentional steps. And again, it comes down to how much are we relying on God? Because if we're taking him on his word, if we're not treating it merely as a suggestion, it shows our level of reliance on him. It doesn't happen from all the doing. Anyone can do, but it happens by being in relationship with him. You know, when we abide and pray, the way we pray changes. You know, I remember how I used to pray. I don't know about you, but I was about 12 or 13 when I started learning how to pray. I would just pray for everything I wanted. That's how I used to pray. I was like, well, Lord, you know, I want this, I want that, that's, you know. And then when it wouldn't happen, I'm like, why, Lord? Why have you left and forsaken me? You said you promised you'd never do that. But when we ask for God, it changes. We ask God for what to pray for. That's what happens. We come to God for wisdom and discernment. And, you know, one of the verses that's constantly twisted is Psalm 37:4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. We all know this. So it's on fridges all across the world. And I used to read this like, he'll give me everything that I desire. Everything. I mean, as a young, you know, probably into my, you know, almost 20s. But he doesn't give us everything we desire. But as we delight in him, a heart transformation occurs. And his desires become our desires. It's the same with our prayers. As we abide in him, we desire his will over what? Our will. Just as he taught us to pray, where? In Matthew 6. Yet your will be done, not mine, because what I want is probably just going to benefit me. All right? But what he wants is probably going to benefit a whole lot more people. And this is where our will comes into play. We must decide to prioritize what our focus is on and the things that will bring us closer to him. Pastor Levi, in our staff devotion, was saying, you know, what are the things that we need to leave behind to come closer, to be closer to the Lord? Distractions, you know, whatever, thoughts, things that are separating us from being closer to God. Because it is about what we focus on. Being intentional is an important part of any relationship. Yeah, any married people in here? Any parents? Yeah, any people in friendships? Intention, right? You have to, if you want a friendship, even going to friendship, you have to text that person. There has to be some sort of communication. You have to call them. You have to see them every now and then. Has to be, you know, close to 50-50. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, it's more, you know, 80-20, whatever. But if it's 95% on one side, 5% on the other side, maybe you need to rethink your relationships, your friendships, yes? It requires some intentionality, yeah? It's the same with our relationship with the Lord. Being intentional is very important. When we abide, the way we change things, the way we think changes, our focus changes. You know, in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As we abide, the things we're attracted to changes. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely. The way we think changes, our focus changes, our will. We want less of us and more of him. And all of this comes down to relationship, being consistent in relationship. to be in a relationship, we all know there needs to be some level of trust. And once that trust is broken, it becomes complex, right? But when we come to our relationship with the Lord, we need to trust that He knows more than we do. His ways are higher, yeah? He has a better way. I'm not going to bust into Forrest Frank, but His way's better. His way's always better. Trust me, I've walked with the Lord a long time now, and I have put my foot in it so many times, and I know that His way's better. Because I have evidence, I have receipts of the times where I've done my own thing and it hasn't gone very well. Can I get an amen? Anyone willing? Yeah, okay. Yes, I'm not alone. Thank you. So as branches, also, we have to trust Him when He prunes us. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You know, when you learn about plants, and I'm no expert, in my house, I have two plants. I have one that it thrives on you not looking after it. That's why I bought it, and it's flourishing. And the other one is, I just water it, and it's still alive after like 3 years, which is a miracle. So I'm not a plant expert. But pruning is a good thing, because it means that the plant is growing and it's essential for future growth. And it removes dead and dying branches and stubs, allowing room for new growth. It also deters pests and animal infestation and promotes health. That means pruning or cleansing in us, when we look at John 15, is by the word of God already given to us. The word of God convicts us. It inspires holiness. It promotes growth. And when the word of God gets on the inside of us, a cleansing happens inside of us. God uses His word to transform how we believe, how we think, how we act, and how we lived. We are able to consecrate ourselves then and set ourselves apart for holiness, being more like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, fruit will follow. It says in Matthew 7:15-20, you will know them by their fruits. Now, he's talking about false prophets, but the concept is transferable. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. This is a tongue twister. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Looking at the fruit is important because we see where the absence of transformation is in our lives. I don't know about you, but my kids at school, they learnt the fruit of the Spirit song and they would play it all the time. I think I forgot who it's from, but they would play it all the time, and that's how they learnt all their fruits of the Spirit. But it always convicts me when it says patience. Because everyone's like, yeah, that's me. That convicts me because I know that's a fruit of the Spirit, that the Lord still, you know, he's working on it. He's working on that. You know, maybe for you it's gentleness or, you know, self-control. Man, we just had Christmas. I think we all need a bit of self-control in 2026. I know I do. So much chocolate. You know, there are things that convict us. We see the absence of transformation. That's important. Is there fruit if you really look at your life? Can you say that the byproduct of your life is giving life to others? Or is it stagnant or stuck? And, you know, fam, I need to be honest with you. Another year will go by and nothing will change unless we choose to follow and remain in Jesus. Then everything changes. We can do all the activity. We can go, we can serve, we can be on team, we can go to life group, we can go to every conference, and there are great ones out there. We can listen to every podcast from every church. We can read all the books, but unless we follow and remain in Him, we literally remain unchanged. And abiding is not a choice to do more, but to be present and remain in relationship. Whereas on the opposite spectrum, we understand striving, you're trying to make something happen. Great efforts to achieve something. And when we abide, it's inevitable that we bear fruit. We don't have to really try to make anything happen. It's just a byproduct. We don't make the fruit grow. Jesus only asks us to abide. Abiding through all the seasons, consistently abiding. You know, from a vine, we look for grapes. From something planted under the soil, we look for a sprout, flowers, signs of life. And from a Jesus follower, we look for the fruit of the Spirit that is evident in our lives. You know, this scripture in Matthew 11 tells of the effects when we abide in Him. He shows us how to take a real rest. We all need that. He shows us how to walk and work with Him. He teaches us the unforced rhythms of grace. And when we keep company with Him, we learn to live freely and lightly. You know, in the ESV version, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I'm going to get the worship team to come. It's my final point. It all comes back to the heart. This is more about Him than what we get out of it. We need to understand the heart of abiding. Why do we abide? You know, when the Bible talks about the heart, it doesn't refer just to the emotional life, but the motivation behind everything that we do. The heart is the center of who we are. And I love this quote by Dane Ortlund. "The heart is a matter of life. It makes us, the human being, each of us, who we are. The heart drives all we do. It is who we are. And when Jesus tells us what animates Him most deeply, what is most true of Him, when He exposes the innermost recesses of His being, what we find there is gentle and lowly. Who could ever have thought up such a Savior?" You know, when Jesus says, "I am gentle and lowly," what does He mean? Gentle meaning kind, the opposite of brutality and being unkind. Lowly meaning that He is humble and accessible. The problem is that we assign meaning to these definitions based on our experience. And we need to understand that when He says gentle, it means the gentleness we have experienced from another human being is just but a shadow. And when He says lowly, it means that when we have experienced someone being humble and accessible in our human experience, it's but a crumb compared to Jesus. This is who He is for those who come to Him. His yoke is easy. And His burden is light, meaning He takes our actual burdens. He's already taken our sins. He carries those things which weigh us down. And we know it's not a promise that life gets easier or without suffering or pain. That's just a reality of life. But it's a byproduct of abiding in Jesus that He will give us rest. You know what's more amazing about abiding in Jesus? Is that our burdens qualify us to come. In this world, your burdens usually don't let you in the door. But the way Jesus works is that our burdens qualifies us to come. When we abide, we come to know Jesus, His gentle and lowly heart in a completely different way than we ever knew before. He teaches us His ways as we follow and remain in Him. In 2026, the start of the year, right here, right now, why don't we be taken by His gentle and lowly heart? Out of our understanding of His heart, we abide. How could we not? Because even the best love that we've experienced in our lives is but a crumb of a greater love, the love of Jesus. So what do you need to be intentional about today? What do you need to make a decision about today?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.